Ahead and start again. So entering into the formal retreat, we'll start with the refuges and the precepts. Most of you, I think all of you, are familiar with the refuges and the precepts, so I won't say much, but just to remind us all of the refuges as the refuge in the Buddha, the refuge in the Dharma, the refuge in the Sangha, as a place where we rest our confidence, our trust, a trust in the possibility of awakening, a trust in the teachings and the meeting of our direct experience, the truth of this moment, and a trust in our community and the lineage of those people who have carried the teachings from the time of the Buddha till now. All of this can serve as a support for us, a place to kind of connect back to. If we're finding ourselves a little adrift, sometimes remembering these refuges, remembering our commitment and our trust in these three: awakening to the truth with support, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. And the precepts, those commitments that we, those ethical commitments, those guidelines that support our actions in the world, that remind us to engage from a place of love and connection and care and compassion, a place of non-harming, to remind us to act from a place of non-harming, refraining from harming living beings, refraining from taking what is not given, refraining from causing harm through our sexuality. That is the precept we'll take here on this retreat, being in your own lives. That seems to be the best one. You can internally, if you wish, take a brahmacharya, the precept for celibacy. Refraining from false speech, commitment to refraining from intoxicants that cloud the mind. This commitment to non-harming, on the surface of it, it sounds like it helps others, you know, it's to help others, but it really helps our own heart to settle as well. So it serves us to make these commitments to non-harming. Our own heart can rest, landing with these ethical commitments. So let's take the refuges and precepts together. We'll chant. You can stay muted. we'll chant together. I think most of you are familiar with the refuges. And then the precepts, we'll chant I'll do the precepts call and response in Pali, and then we'll follow each of those with the precept in English, which I'll also do call and response. So refuges chanting together, starting with the homage. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. For the call and response, Dawn, would you be willing to unmute yourself and be the voice of the respondents?
Sure.
Great. So everyone else, mute yourselves. Great. Thank you. Panatipata veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
Panatipata veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from harming living beings.
I undertake the precept to refrain from harming living beings.
Adina dana veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
Adina dana veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
And just to confirm, I see some of you aren't actually chanting. You're to chant with Dawn when the response happens. I just wanted you to have somebody to chant with. I undertake the training to refrain from taking that which is not given.
I undertake the training to refrain from taking that which is not given.
Kamesu michachara veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
Kamesu michachara veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
I undertake the training to refrain from harming with sexual energy.
I undertake the training to refrain from harming with sexual energy.
Musawada veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
Musawada veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
I undertake the training to refrain from false speech.
I undertake the training to refrain from false speech.
Sura mereya majapamadatana veratmani sikapadang samadhiyami.
Sura mereya majapamadatana veramani sikapadang samadhiyami.
I undertake the training to refrain from intoxicants which cloud the mind and lead to heedlessness.
I undertake the training to refrain from intoxicants which cloud the mind and lead to heedlessness.
Idang me silang maga palanya nasa pachayo hotu.
Idam me silang pachaya hotu.
Sorry about that, Dawn. I threw that one in there. May this sila of mine support freedom and peace.
May this sila of mine support freedom and peace. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you all. So we'll start with a few reminders about this practice. You're all familiar with this practice, some of you more so, a few of you a little less so. But I find it helpful to just remind us all of what we're doing together. To remind us of this journey that we're taking together and what are our supports for this journey. In exploring, going more deeply into A, instead of thinking of a journey as going from A to B, but more deeply into this moment, our greatest support is the capacity we have for awareness. And supporting a continuity of that awareness, an establishment of that awareness, establishing mindfulness. The conditions of our retreat are a support for that establishment. Coming together multiple times a day helps us remember to be aware. Our connection with the other members of the community, support of the community, helps us remember when we step away from our meditation hall to be aware. And this establishment of mindfulness, when mindfulness becomes more continuous, that is the establishment of mindfulness. And mindfulness to be the kind of support for our journey that helps the journey towards freedom, towards ease, towards peace. There are some, it's not just simply being aware. It really is an awareness from a particular perspective. Perspective of curiosity about this moment, about this present moment, about what is here in this moment. A curiosity about the human experience that's happening right now, as human experience. we so often begin with the perspective, our habit, our deeply conditioned habit is to have the perspective of I or me, my experience. And one of the shifts for mindfulness is to be more curious about this experience. Human experience. And so our awareness that we cultivate, it's not just being aware, it's being aware with this curiosity and interest of what is actually happening in this moment. In this style of practice, the exploration from the beginning is just on what's happening. Right now, what's happening in this moment? Are you aware? And what's happening? Opening to all aspects of our experience. We, in this particular practice, we don't begin with it. Let's say the instructions don't begin by guiding us to choose an object around which to cultivate mindfulness. Instead, we're cultivating awareness by remembering awareness. Are you aware in this moment? And what is awareness aware of? What awareness is aware of may be coming in through any of the sense doors. We may be aware of sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, or things happening in the mind. And we can be aware of awareness itself. Not that we, it's not like turning around and looking at awareness there. But we can recognize the quality of the mind that is aware. We can recognize awareness through how it is aware of experience. And so in being aware of awareness, other experience, the objects of awareness don't disappear. And so the full range, the full spectrum of our experience is what we explore being aware of. And however that's showing up for you in this moment is what we explore, is what your mind and body explores at this moment. So a sense of receiving experience. What's already happening in this human experience? You don't have to make anything happen. You don't have to look for anything to be happening. There is something already happening. What is it? What is awareness already aware of? I often refer to this kind of practice as receptive awareness, because we aren't directing the attention. We're not choosing what to pay attention to. Consciously, we're not consciously choosing what to pay attention to. And yet as we kind of step back and relax and just receive what's already here, something will be being attended to. We are not consciously choosing that, or not trying to consciously choose that, but conditions that are unfolding in our experience are choosing what is being attended to. At times, that might be something specific in experience. Somebody turns on a leaf blower outside and the attention will go to that sound. So sometimes the attention can be very focused in this receptive awareness. Sometimes in receiving experience, it feels much more panoramic, much broader. And so this receptive awareness is not just simply one way of being aware. We are noticing, recognizing a variety of different ways that our minds engage with the world. And they will be engaging with the world even as we kind of settle back and take, let go of the control, the conditioning. Essentially, we watch what we see when we're practicing receptive awareness is we're watching the conditioning of our human experience unfolding, seeing what has been conditioned, what the mind chooses to attend to is conditioned, and how our minds respond to that is conditioned. So we are exploring this possibility of waking up to whatever is happening, already happening here. It can be a variety of experiences. Receiving. And so that's a piece of the practice, this receiving. And another key piece of the practice is recognizing how we are in relationship to what is received. Noticing our attitude to what's happening. This is just something else that's happening, but it is called out in Sayadaw Utejaniya. The inspiration for me for this teaching in this style of practice, he highlights the attitude as something to be curious about or check in with. Not because it's fundamentally different than what's already happening, but because it can tend to be something that our attitude or our relationship to experience tends to be something that we don't consciously recognize as easily. And that relationship to experience, when it's not seen, is a prime shaper of our next moments of experience. It's a prime shaper of this moment's experience and how we connect to and how we respond to the next moments of experience. So I think it bears repeating that the attitude, again, it's not any fundamentally different. It's already something that's happening. It's just something that is worth kind of consciously highlighting because so often it is missed. It's kind of an overview. Kind of a overview reminder. We cultivate this receptive awareness, knowing all aspects of experience and checking the attitude from time to time. In terms of establishing mindfulness, creating the conditions that support that continuity, I'll offer a few things that support that, or reminders of a few things that support that continuity. And one of the keys that was so, so helpful for me is relaxation. Remembering relaxation. And often in my own practice, I will begin there. just as a reminder, you know, this relaxation of body, as we relax the body, it supports, relaxing the body is a condition that supports the mind to relax. And when the mind is relaxed, a relaxed mind is basically not one that's caught up in thinking about past or future. A relaxed mind is available to receive what's happening in the present moment. And so relaxing the body, perhaps consciously scanning through, relaxing the body. That supports the mind to be able to relax. And a relaxation of mind supports a natural awareness. We can consciously remind ourselves to relax, just kind of scanning through the body, for instance, and checking in, where is there tension, seeing if we can soften it. So that can be a little bit of directedness at the beginning. Sometimes that can be useful. Another approach to relaxation can be just to connect with the intention. Dropping in a kind of a reminder at the beginning. May the body relax. Just right now, exploring that, just dropping that in your mind. May the body relax. And then rather than trying to do relaxation, seeing how that lands, that thought, how does that thought land in your human experience? Thoughts are quite powerful. And it may be, it doesn't always happen, but it may be with that request, may the body relax, that you may notice a relaxation happening. May the body relax. And sometimes I find it fun to play with kind of the system as if it's its own thing. And it is its own thing. Body, mind. Can you show this being what relaxation is? How relaxation is possible? It's kind of being willing to be shown by our system how relaxation might work, how relaxation might happen. May the body relax. May the mind relax. How might it be possible for the mind to relax? Maybe dropping that question in and remembering that with questions, they're not meant to be thought about to try to answer them, but it's dropping in a kind of an exploration or an intention and being willing to see, receive what happens with that thought dropped into the meditation. May the mind relax. So you can begin, if it's supportive for you, with some exploration of relaxation. For now, with whatever relaxation is available for you, exploring, recognizing, noticing that you're aware. Are you aware? Again, not something to try to figure out or think about. If you're hearing me, if you're connecting to that question at all, you are aware. And so don't try to overthink it. Am I aware? Yes, this experience is awareness. Awareness is here in this moment. Some of you are familiar with that experience of awareness, and you can just connect with that. Aware. Awareness. Already aware. To me, as the mindfulness does begin to get established, that recognition of already aware seems a little lighter in touch. It's not checking, it's acknowledging. Awareness is here. Here. Available. Aware. And awareness is aware of something, some experience. It may be specific, precise, a particular sound or body sensation or smell. Or it may be more broad, more vague or diffuse, an experience of spaciousness or perhaps a broader sense of the body sitting, a sense of vibratory energy, a physical vibration through the body that has an expanding kind of quality. Or it could be a particular sensation of the breath or contact point of feet or hands. Relax. Are you aware? And what is already here? Sometimes we may not be able to clearly recognize what is already here, what is happening. We may not quite know the what awareness knows. That's okay. You don't have to go searching or trying to figure it out or put labels on it. There is some experience that's there, that's happening. Awareness is here. Don't know what the object is. That's okay. You can recognize it in that way. Not sure. Don't know the object. You may sit with that place of unsure, not knowing for a few seconds, even a few minutes. And then there will be something that happens at some point. The dog barks and there's an object. Aware of that is very clear. That is clearly known. You can notice that in that moment. And then it may be that in the next moment there's something else that's clearly known. And then a few moments later, it's back to the, I'm not sure. Not sure what awareness is aware of. So are you aware? And what is awareness aware of? This is the basic mindfulness. And can there be an awareness with that curiosity as human experience? What's here? What is this human experience that's unfolding right now? The practice of mindfulness does need some effort, some connecting with the practice, especially at first, at the beginning of a retreat, at the beginning of a practice period. We need to remember awareness. How we remember awareness is the way we engage to remember awareness is how we make effort. The light touch of that remembering. In a moment, it's not so hard to be aware. In this moment, right now, can you know a breath? Can you know a body sensation? Not so hard to be aware of a moment in a moment of experience. And yet, sustaining that mindfulness over time is more challenging and is often where the practice gets tight or tied up, trying to hold on to mindfulness. So rather than trying to hold on to mindfulness, in this moment, are you aware? Knowing that light touch of this moment of awareness, that's enough. That's all that needs to happen. And then the next moment, aware again. Just enough effort to be present for this moment and to recognize the experience of this moment. And then do it again. Light touch over and over and over again. As momentum builds, as momentum of awareness builds, we begin to get familiar with kind of being on a wave of mindfulness. Aware, we're aware, and that awareness has a kind of a life. It will last a certain amount of time as we connect with the awareness. And over time, as we cultivate this establishment of mindfulness, there's more natural momentum of mindfulness that happens. And so we don't need to remind ourselves as frequently. We don't need to keep making that connection as frequently. So this is a little bit of the art of our practice. How frequently do we remind ourselves to be aware? Are you aware? What is obvious? What is here? Light touch, just enough effort to be with the mindfulness that is carrying us in this moment, the mindfulness that's here in this moment, riding that wave. We may start to get familiar with the waning of that mindfulness, the way in which it gets a little weaker, and that's a good point to kind of reconnect. Aware. Remember awareness. Are you aware? As there is this gentle persistence in remembering awareness, this momentum of mindfulness, as mindfulness gains momentum, as it becomes established, this is how concentration manifests in this practice. Concentration is the stability of mindfulness over time. Concentration is not necessarily about being with one particular object moment after moment after moment. The experience of established mindfulness, the concentrated mind in this practice, there will often be a lot of changing experience happening. Yet the stability of awareness is what we're cultivating. That is the concentration. And then as there is a connection with being aware and knowing what's happening, from time to time, checking in to what is the relationship? How are we in relationship to what's happening? How am I in relationship to experience? The relationship to experience may be about the objects of meditation, about sights or sounds or smells or thoughts or emotions or moods. We like some, we don't like some. We're confused about some. Or we are okay. No problem. This is also an attitude, a relationship to experience. No problem. Balance of mind. Ease. Curiosity. Perhaps a feeling of connection or love or compassion. Many different flavors that are possible when the mind is okay. So that balanced mind can take different forms. There might be curiosity or interest, love or compassion, patience. And there also might be the more reactive attitudes based in greed, aversion, delusion. And so we may be responding to the objects of meditation. What sights, sounds, smells, tastes, thoughts, moods, emotions happen and how we relate to those. But another key place to be curious about the attitude is our attitude about how the practice is going, how we think the practice is going. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the taste, the touch. Maybe it's all just, you know, stuff happening and the mind is going, shouldn't there be something more interesting going on? That's an attitude about the practice, an attitude not so much about what is happening, but the meditation itself. So curiosity about how we are in relationship to the experience. This can't be right. This is what's happening. By definition, this is what is being, the awareness is knowing. This is the experience in this moment. So from time to time, checking in, how is the mind in relationship to experience? How is the mind in relationship to the practice itself? Sayadaw uses the language of right attitude and wrong attitude. Wrong attitude, he points to based in the habits, the reactive habits and patterns of greed, aversion, and delusion. Right attitude is that attitude of okayness, no problem, balance of mind, equanimity, curiosity, patience, those flavors. We check into the attitude not to try to change or to make wrong attitude right attitude, but the very exploration of recognizing, oh, this attitude of frustration is happening right now. It takes that attitude essentially out of the back of the mind, out of being in the driving seat, out of driving the bus, and into just being another thing that we're aware of. And we can have wise attitude. We can be balanced, knowing frustration in the mind. And so really the checking the attitude is a way to become more, become consciously aware of mind states, moods, thoughts, things happening in our mind, forces driving our intention, to become aware of those so that they can simply be known as another thing happening. Then it's just another experience. The attitude, just an arising experience, and recognizing both the reactive attitudes and the wholesome attitudes, wise attitude, knowing both is supportive for us. As we recognize the unwise attitudes, attitudes based in greed, aversion, and delusion, we learn something about how greed, aversion, and delusion function in our minds, and they begin to, the wisdom that comes with observing them begins to weaken them, to allow them to be seen for how they contribute to suffering in our minds. Unfortunately, our human system doesn't want to suffer, and so our human system begins to release those unhelpful attitudes and agendas. Recognizing wise attitude, recognizing this is what it's like when the mind feels balanced and at ease. That supports our mind, recognizing this is helpful. And so the mind inclines in that direction. Our system inclines towards well-being, which is a great thing. You don't have to make that shift happen. We need to be curious about experience, curious about the attitudes and how they're working. And our human system will naturally move in the direction of more ease and peace. And there are times, we all know those times, when we can't simply settle back and know, oh, this is what's happening in the moment. Our minds get caught and stuck, and even trying to be mindful, it gets pulled into that rabbit hole or pulled into the quicksand of that. Mindfulness gets lost. So if that's happening, then that is a time to use tools that you have. You all have tools and ways to support your mind to regain balance. That's the time to use those tools, whether it's turning attention to some particular object, such as the breath or hearing or body sensation, or perhaps bringing some metta in, opening your eyes and orienting yourself in your space, taking a walk, all of these things are supportive when we find that kind of situation where we can't, where the momentum of the reactivity is stronger than the momentum of the mindfulness, and the mindfulness is getting swept away. The mindfulness is getting submerged by the tsunami of reactivity. A little stream, a trickle of mindfulness swamped. We need to know it's wise at that point. Wisdom, discernment helps us there to recognize not the time to try to settle back and just receive. Receiving, I'm being swamped. And so that is a time to turn to some tools that you have that you know that help you to balance your mind. So we cultivate, as Sayadaw says, we cultivate wise attitude or right attitude by getting to know wrong attitude really well. If we can observe wrong attitude with curiosity, interest, balance of mind, that wrong attitude is no longer hindering the mind. It is just another experience to be known. And of course, you're all familiar with the experience of the mind wandering out of the present moment, returning. Clearly recognizing that moment, recognizing the moment when mindfulness returns, that's a really helpful and powerful moment to be clear about, to recognize, oh, mindfulness is back. It's not a problem that the mind has wandered. It has happened. It was conditioned. And likewise, the returning of mindfulness is conditioned. It's a conditioned phenomenon. And the recognition of that in the moment, that's a beautiful thing. In that moment when mindfulness returns, recognizing you're aware again. That moment of awareness is completely effortless. You didn't do it. It just happened. So noticing the effortless awareness in that moment, if you can be curious about that moment and the effortless quality of awareness that's already present in that moment, that can take so much judgment out of that fact that the mind had wandered. It's an opportunity to learn about effortless mindfulness, that moment that mindfulness rearises. So appreciating that opportunity, noticing awareness is back, and it's also a little easier to recognize the quality of the aware mind itself in that moment, because there's a little bit of a contrast between what the mind was doing a moment before and the experience of being aware now. So the awareness has arisen. Aware again. This is what it's like to be aware. It can be useful also in that check in with what's here in this moment. Sometimes tension can creep in when the mind is wandering out in various scenarios and plans and judgments and fantasies, and tension can creep in. And so aware of what's here, if you become aware of tension, it can be useful. It's not always necessary. Sometimes we can just notice, oh, there's tension in the body and mind. And just that awareness will allow a release of that tension. But if you become aware of that tension and it feels like it would be supportive to relax, to explore relaxation, again, you're welcome to take some time to relax. Remembering that relaxation supports a natural awareness. So we're at the end of our time this morning, and I will join you at the 1:30 sitting this afternoon, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30, wherever you are in the country, and offer a little bit of a guided sitting, just a few moments of dropping in, less words, more just few moments of reminders. So I'll join you at that sitting to offer a guided practice. So whoever is practice leader at 1:30, you don't have to ring the bell today, but do pick it up tomorrow. And just some reminders, again, you're all familiar with the practice, just reminding you about walking practice. Whenever we are walking, being aware. I'll just remind you of the one line that Sayadaw said in a group that I was in once. I use this almost every retreat, so most of you probably heard this, but just a reminder. When someone in my practice group asked Sayadaw, how do you do walking meditation? He said, I don't practice walking meditation. I practice awareness while I'm walking. So we practice awareness all day long, as much as we remember. We practice awareness while sitting. We practice awareness while standing, while chopping vegetables, while using the toilet, while going for a walk, while being at the doctor's office. A few of you have talked about having doctor's appointments this week. We practice awareness while living. The instructions don't change from sitting practice to walking practice. The objects change. The experience changes. But we just receive. What's it like to be a human being while walking? What's it like to be a human being while I'm at the doctor's office? What's it like to be a human being while living? So the instructions are the same. So that's just a reminder. And I'll talk a little bit more about some of the objects that happen in walking meditation. I'll talk a little bit more about that maybe this afternoon. I'll bring that in a little bit this afternoon. Because the different objects that happen, sometimes those objects can have different stickiness for them. So it can be helpful to talk a little bit about what happens to us while walking in a little more detail. So thank you for your practice. I am so delighted to be with you on this retreat. And we'll see you in a few hours at the sitting at 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, whenever it is for you.